let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Running with Roselle, how a blind boy and a puppy grew up and became best friends and together survived one of America's darkest days is written by Michael Hinkson. A story about a puppy who became a hero on September 11, 2001, as he led his blind companion, Michael, out of the World Trade Center from the 78th floor before its collapse. Michael has been blind since birth. Roselle had become his guide dog less than 2 years before that fateful day. Together, they inspired others during the escape, and their teamwork deemed crucial to their survival that day. For her efforts, Roselle received the American Hero Dog Award. This is a follow-up to Michael's runaway bestseller, Thunder Dog, the true story of a blind man, his guide dog, and the triumph of trust at ground zero. Michael is an international hero, in-demand speaker, best-selling author, successful sales career, a master's degree in physics, Eagle Scout, rising to the highest honor a Boy Scout can achieve, known as Vigil, a longtime social advocate for change concerning disabilities through his involvement with the National Federation of the Blind. Michael Hinkson, author of Running with Roselle and Thunder Dog, our guest on This Week in America. Michael, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Honor to be here. Thanks.
Boy, there is so much to the story, and the time is going to go by so quickly, but let's start with Running with Roselle. Give us a little bit of background. I did it in a sentence, and boy, the book is so much more. It goes into great detail and so many aspects of your life and your relationship with Roselle and what happened that day. Tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, we wrote Thunder Dog in 2010 and 2011, and it was published, and as you said, it became a number one New York Times bestseller. But we thought it would be relevant to write a book for kids. And actually, Susie Flory, who worked with me on Thunder Dog, suggested a woman who could help write the book, Jeanette Hanscom, who had a lot more expertise in writing children's books than I. And I wanted to do the same thing with Running with Roselle that I did with Thunder Dog. And that is, it wasn't really about the World Trade Center as such. It was more about teaching, in this case, children about blindness and what blindness is really about, because everyone thinks that if you're blind, you can't do stuff. It really is that if you're blind, you're not like the rest of us. You're not normal.
Yes.
and you're not competent. The reality is that's not what blindness is all about. Eyesight isn't the only game in town. You don't need to see to do things. The issue is that we all use different devices and different technologies, and we all use different techniques to accomplish tasks. You happen to use your eyes. But the reality is, if you don't have light around, like sunlight and so on, you're in a world of hurt because you can't do things. You can't get around. You can't make things go as they should. I don't have a dependency on light. It's not a problem for me to not see with my eyes what's going on. What I do have, though, is an understanding that there are a lot of ways to accomplish tasks. And that's what I wanted Running with Roselle to teach to children. I wanted them to learn that a blind youth could grow up, a blind person could do the same things that other people can. And it might very well be that we use a guide dog. And a lot of people would say, yeah, but you have to use a guide dog. I don't have to do that. I can see. Yeah. How's that work for you when the power goes out and you don't have
exactly.
any light?
Exactly.
And
you've,
so
you've got Roselle with you.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, because you got Roselle with you to get you through those difficult circumstances.
Well, and look, let's be clear what a guide dog is about. The purpose of a guide dog is not to know where I want to go or how to get there. The purpose of a guide dog is to guide. That is, it's my job to give the dog commands when I want him or her to go forward, left, right, and so on. And I have to know how to do that, where to do that. And that means I need to be in charge of the team because we are a team, and I need to have that information so that I can give the dog commands. The dog's job is to carry out those commands and keep us safe. And that's also why I say guide dogs don't lead, they guide, because I'm the one that's leading the team and I'm the one that knows where I want to go. And I can only project that if I'm confident and competent enough to be
yes.
oriented to my surroundings, just like you would be. So in the case of working with Roselle, yeah, on September 11th, she did everything that I could expect her to do. She focused, she did her part of the job, and she did that because I did my part of the job. I remained calm, partly because I knew I needed to do that for her. But I also remained calm because I had spent a lot of time preparing in the World Trade Center for the, although not likely, but possibility that we could have some sort of an emergency. It had happened once before in 1993. So I, as the leader of the office I was running for Quantum Corporation, I had to know what to do because my employees weren't going to spend a lot of time studying where to go, how to do things, and so on. So it was important for me to do that. Also, my employees might very well not even be in the office when Roselle and I were there if they're out doing their jobs properly. So bottom line is, I learned what to do, and that created a mindset for me that if something happens, you've already got all the information you need to survive. It would be helpful to have more information about exactly what's going on, and I got that on September 11th. But the bottom line is, I had the information I needed so I could move with confidence and, as a result, keep Roselle focused so she didn't have to worry about me.
It's a fascinating story and background on what exactly a guide dog does in that relationship between you and the guide dog. Michael Hingson, our guest on the program. That's H-I-N-G-S-O-N. His website, michaelhingson.com. Books available, of course, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places, and I'll give you information on both those books. We're focusing on Running with Roselle, but Thunder Dog still doing quite well. People picking up copies years later on that book. It is such an inspiration. Led to Michael being, as I said, an international hero, multiple appearances on The Larry King Show. Let's go back to that day, that September 11th day. You're sitting down for a sales meeting. Something is happening. When did you understand the scope of what was happening? It wasn't just one erratic plane or one plane that was intended for its target, but multiple. When did you figure out this is bad?
We didn't really know what happened until both towers had collapsed. So what happened on September 11th at 8:45, 8:46 in the morning is that we were in my office. I had a colleague from our corporate office, David Frank, was there, and some early arrivals for sales seminars we were going to be running that day. At 8:45, suddenly we heard a muffled explosion. The building kind of vibrated, and then if you imagine my hand as the tower, literally the building started tipping in one direction. Tall buildings are flexible. They're made to be flexible to be able to be buffeted in, yes, in wind storms and so on. And they can be hit by airplanes, like an airplane hit the Empire State Building in the 1940s. The difference here, of course, was it was a deliberate attack with an airplane filled with 26,000 pounds of jet fuel. It wasn't the plane that caused the building to collapse. It was the exploding jet fuel that further damaged the infrastructure of the building. But the building kept tipping, and then it eventually stopped. We thought it was going to fall to the street, but it didn't. Then it came back upright. And all that time, Roselle was asleep under my desk. But when the building got to be vertical again, I went back into my office. I met Roselle coming out from under my desk. I took her leash and told her to come around to heel, which meant come around on my left side and sit, which she did. Then the building dropped straight down about 6 feet because the expansion joints in the building went back to their normal configuration. Picture it like a spring. Fasten the bottom of the spring to the table and then push the top of the spring over,
yes,
and let it go. And that's what happened. So we didn't know what happened. No one, not only in our office, but around us did, because the airplane hit 18 floors above us on the other side of the building. No one could see it. No one knew. So even so, with the building doing what it did, it was clear we had to get out. My colleague David looked outside and saw fire and smoke above us. And I heard debris falling outside the window. He said it was millions of pieces of burning paper falling outside the window. Another piece of information for me. And he was saying, we got to get out of here right now. We can't stay here. And I kept saying, slow down, David. We'll get out. And he kept saying, no, we got to get out of here. And I said, slow down. And our guests began to scream and move toward our exits. And they heard me say, slow down. So they waited. And finally, my colleague David used the big line. You don't understand. You can't see it. The problem isn't what David was seeing and I wasn't seeing. The problem was what David wasn't seeing that I was. Namely, I knew Roselle very well. I knew what it was like when she was afraid. She didn't like thunderstorms. But Roselle was sitting next to me on my left side, calm, wagging her tail, yawning, essentially going, what woke me up? What's going on here?
Yes.
This is crazy. And so I knew that Roselle wasn't afraid, which meant that whatever was occurring wasn't such an imminent threat that we couldn't try to evacuate in an orderly way. So I finally got David to focus. I said, get our guests to the stairs. Don't let them take elevators, because I had learned as part of all the studying that I did of the World Trade Center and emergency preparedness and procedures, that in an emergency, don't take the elevator, especially if there's fire, because if the fire gets into the elevator cars, then people could be injured, which did happen. But our guests got to the stairs and they actually got down and were going out ahead of us. David came back. I had called my wife, who hadn't even seen it on the news yet. And I told her there had been an explosion or something. We would leave and I'd let her know later. And she wanted to know more. I said, don't know anymore. David came back. We swept the offices again. And then we went to the stairs. On the way down, I smelled an odor that I realized was, after about four floors, the smell of burning jet fuel fumes. I traveled to a lot of airports, so I knew the smell. When I made that observation out loud, people said, yeah, you're right. That's what it is. We couldn't figure it out. So we knew an airplane hit, but Rick, we didn't know what the details were. All the way down the stairs, we didn't know what the details were, but we did know we had to work together so that we wouldn't cause anybody to panic. And that happened a few times. But bottom line is that we made it down. It got pretty crowded on the stairs, so some of the time I couldn't even hold on to Roselle's harness to follow her. It was too crowded, and so I told her to heel, which meant that she kind of stepped back a little bit. I was holding on to her leash, and I was holding on to the rail on the left side of the stairs to go down. And again, guide dogs don't lead, they guide. In this case, there's no magic to going downstairs with a rail. And so we did what we needed to do. We got down to the bottom, and we got out into the lobby.
I mean, it's an amazing story, and you'll read the story, Michael's story and Roselle's story in Running with Roselle, how a blind boy and a puppy grew up, became best friends, and together survived one of America's darkest days, by Michael Hingson, our guest on the program, Hingson. This is the follow-up to the runaway bestseller, Thunder Dog, the true story of a blind man, his guide dog, and the triumph of trust. And it's interesting, as you're describing that, you know, you've got the falling glass, you've got everything going on around you, and terrified people. And it's interesting how you and Roselle were sort of the calming factor there, right, and trying to keep everybody, don't panic, if we all work together, we can survive this.
That was part of it. The other thing, and it's a story that doesn't get mentioned much, is at the 50th floor, my colleague David suddenly said, Mike, we're going to die. We're not going to make it out of here. And I snapped at him as firmly as I could, stop it, David. If Roselle and I can go down these stairs, so can you. And he told me later that brought him out of his funk. But what he said is, I've got to put my mind on something else so I don't worry about all this. I'm going to walk a floor below you and tell you what I see on the stairs. And I said, okay, that's fine. Did I need him to do that? No, but it was helpful. And it was helpful in a way that I don't think gets mentioned much, and that's this. So I got to the 49th floor and suddenly I hear David, 48th floor. Hey, everything's good here. Going on down the stairs. I get to 48. 47th floor, all clear. Mike, we're doing well. David became a focal point for anyone who could hear him, above him or below him. Literally, I think thousands of people on the stairs had to hear him say things like, hey, I'm at the 44th floor. This is where the Port Authority cafeteria is. Not stopping, going on down the stairs. He did more to keep people focused, I think, than anything else I experienced that day. And I thought that was a really cool thing to occur. But the bottom line is, we all worked together to make sure that we didn't have any kind of panic, and we helped everyone get out. Of course, once we got to the bottom and we were out into the lobby, then I don't know what really occurred on the stairs. We still had power and lighting. We were all told to leave the area, but not to go outside, but rather to go through the entire complex to get to exits as far away from the towers as we could be. So, people were escorted. We were escorted by somebody from the FBI who wouldn't tell us what was going on. I wish he had. I like information, but I understand why he didn't, because yes, he didn't know me and he didn't know whether we'd panic or not. But we were escorted to an exit by the Borders books all the way on the other side of the complex. When we got outside, we saw fire in Tower 2. David said that he saw this fire. We had no idea where it came from because we didn't feel anything going down the stairs. So we got out. He saw the fire. We walked over to Broadway. We went north on Broadway, and we got to Vesey Street, where he wanted to stop, David did, to take some pictures with his camera. And I decided I'd try to call my wife again. I couldn't get through. The circuits were busy. People saying goodbye to loved ones who were trapped above the fires. And I had just put my phone away, and he was putting his camera away when a police officer yelled, "Get out of here. It's coming down now." And we heard this rumble that I constantly describe as a combination between a freight train and a waterfall. You could hear metal clattering, like on a freight train, and glass breaking and clattering, and then this white noise sound of the building collapsing. It was Tower 2 coming down. David turned and ran. Everyone turned and ran. I turned and ran back the way I came and went to Fulton Street, and then took a right on Fulton Street to get a building between us and the collapsing tower. A lot of good really that would do if the building decided not to pancake down but go sideways. But there was a lot of debris falling, and I thought being between another building and the falling debris would be helpful. I ran about 25 yards and caught up to David, because it turns out that he had gone the same way. So he had realized that he had just left me and was going to try to come back and find me, but I reached him first. So we kept running, got caught in the dust cloud that was so thick you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, as he described it. And for me, with every breath I took, I could feel dirt and debris going down my throat into my lungs. And we knew we had to get out of that cloud. So we started looking for an opening in the building that we were running next to on our right side. Suddenly I heard an opening. I had been giving Roselle commands, right, right. I don't know whether she could see my hand signals or hear my voice, but she must have been able to, because when we got to the opening and I heard it, and she obviously knew what I wanted, she turned right. She took one step and she stopped, and she wouldn't move. And I kept saying, "Come on, Roselle, keep going." And she wouldn't move. Remember what I said before about the job of a guide dog. Part of what they're taught is something called intelligent disobedience. That is, if the dog feels that a command I give her isn't going to keep us safe, they have the authority to stop. And Roselle did, because we were at the top of the flight of stairs.
More with Michael Hinkson, author of Running with Roselle, after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
I'm in my late 60s. My husband died a few years ago. He did all of our taxes. I sold a piece of property last year, and I forgot to claim the proceeds of the sale. Next thing I know, I got a letter from the IRS telling me that I owe over $50,000. Now I have a huge tax problem. I don't have that kind of money. I wish I knew who to call.
If you sold property in the last calendar year or didn't claim all of your part-time or even retirement income, you could be in big trouble with the IRS. Call first before they send you a letter. If you've already got a letter, call. We'll help you file years of past tax returns and save you time and money. So call the tax doctor. The call is confidential and free.
800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. That's 800-795-6170.
People ask all the time, who the heck is Low Cost Airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone. We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rates you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. That's 800-264-3150.